Okay, so I guess we'll get started. Okay. Alright. Ready? Okay, here we go. So this is the fourth shiur of the series, so this is the last shiur of the series. I wanted to talk tonight about Ratzon Hashem, the topic of Ratzon Hashem, Hashem's will, and specifically how it relates to us and our avodas Hashem in general, but really specifically about the overall theme of this series is self-growth through Torah and development. And I think that understanding the concept of Ratzon Hashem is, and also tefillah, a little bit I want to comment on, talk about a little bit, and how I think it's a very, very important nekuda to go into, so let's see if we can maybe explain it and how it's relevant for us. So I want to start with the Drashos HaRan. The Ran, in the sixth Drasha, he talks about Akedas Yitzchak. We read about it a couple weeks ago in the Parsha. And he has a very interesting take that I only saw this year. Actually, I didn't see it inside. I saw Rabbi Simon in his Sefer Imre Barach. He quotes it, so that's where I saw it. Really, very, very beautiful. The idea is that by the Akedah, we know that we're used to thinking that Hashem gave a tzivui, Hashem gave a mitzvah for Avraham Avinu to sacrifice Yitzchak, and we know that it was the 10th Nisayon, it was the hardest Nisayon, and of course Avraham passed the Nisayon. The Ran points out that if you look at the Lashon of the Pasuk, if you actually look at the words that are written there, it doesn't say anything about a tzivui. It doesn't say anything about a commandment. It doesn't say anything about Hashem saying to Avraham, you have to do this. It says, Kachna. Kachna, es bincha, es yichidcha, es yitzchak. You know, please take. Please take. And the Ran has an amazing chiddush, which is that the truth is that it was a request from Hashem to Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu could have said no. And if Avraham Avinu would have said no, the Ran says he would not have been punished. And I think we also would have understood if Avraham Avinu had said no. I mean, he had a havtacha from Hashem. He had a number of havtachas from Hashem. That the Jewish people were going to go through this son, through Yitzchak. The request that Hashem was making of him really ran counter to everything he knew. Avraham Avinu was the Isha Chesed. This was the most barbaric thing he could have done, is to sacrifice his own son. It was against his entire worldview, and it was against what he thought was his entire future. So if the story had gone that Avraham Avinu said, Hashem, I just can't do it, Hashem, says the Ran, Hashem would have been okay with it, and he would have understood, and there would not have been any punishment. So, but what ended up happening, we know, of course, that Avraham Avinu did not say no. And the reason Avraham Avinu didn't say no is because Avraham Avinu was tuned in to this thing that we call Ratzon Hashem, which means to say that in Hashem's communication to the world, there is what we call tzivuyim, mitzvos, commandments that we have. And then there's this idea of Hashem's will, which goes beyond the mitzvos. Not just what He told us that we have to do, but what Hashem wants us to do, His ratzon. Okay? And it's not so hard for us to understand that concept, right? If we think about it, with a close friend. So, a close friend will tell you certain things that he likes and that he wants, and then there's a lot of things that he hasn't actually said to you, but you know he wants, even though he hasn't communicated. Basically, every time you buy a birthday present for somebody, you're tapping into their ratzon. They haven't necessarily told you what they want, but you know this is something that they would like. And since the person is important to you, therefore you're thinking about what would the person want me to do. And since I love this person or I care about this person, so the ratzon of this person becomes very, very important to me. So Avraham Avinu didn't only, even though he was mechaven to all the mitzvos, Chazal saying, he did know the tzivuyim of Hashem, But he was tapped in and tuned into much more than that. He was tuned into this thing called Ratzon, Hashem's will. And he knew that Hashem wanted him to do this, even though he didn't say, you have to do this. And just the fact that Avraham knew that Hashem wanted him to do it was enough for him to say, therefore I'm going to do it. So I think we need to ask this question of how do we tune into this thing called Ratzon? Okay? Because Ratzon is something that, first of all, it's part of Hashem's communication to us. There's only so many things that Hashem can tell us that He wants, ways that He wants us to live our lives. He told us 613 things that He wants us to do, but it's impossible for Hashem to tell us all of the things. He can't describe every life situation that we're ever going to be in. He can't comment openly on everything that we're ever going to do, every decision that we have to make. And yet, we do know that Hashem has an opinion about everything that goes on in our lives. He has a ratzon of the way that He hopes that we'll lead our lives, even though He hasn't commented on all the things in our lives openly. So we have to find somehow, some way to tune into this thing called ratzon, what Hashem wants, even if it's not so clear. So how do we do that? The Rav Chanan Wasserman in Kuntres Divrei Sofrim, which is in the Kovet Shurim, he talks a lot about the yesod there of Emunas Chachamim. And the whole idea, it's often quoted in the sugya of Das Torah, and believing in the Chachamim, believing in the Rabbanim, believing in the Mesorah, like that whole sugya. This is a very big marmakum for that. And he quotes there a Gemara in Yevamos that talks about three times, the famous Gemara, three times in Sadi Beis, in Samech Beis, in Yevamos. And he says there that the Gemara points out that there were three times the Moshe Rabbeinu was mechavein to das Hashem. And the lashon of the Gemara is hiskimo daito la daito shamakom. The Moshe Rabbeinu's das was somehow in line with Hakadosh Baruch Hu's das, whatever that means. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is das, but Hashem wanted something, and Moshe was able to be mechavein to figure that out. The point of Rav Chanan is that there seems to be a certain ability that a person has to use his mind, to use his brain, to line himself up or tune himself in to this frequency called Ratzon Hashem, right? And we understand that people who, this is what the Yisod of Emunas Chachamim is really based on, that there are certain people who we believe have worked really, really hard for a long time to line themselves up with what Hashem wants, with what Ratzon Hashem is. And so we have a certain trust in people like that. And we assume that there's a kind of attunement that they've reached. But the truth is that this is we all have a seichel, and we all have a responsibility to try to tune into that frequency to Ratzon Hashem. And to we all familiar probably with the Mishnah and Avos, which says Batal Ratzonchem et Neiratzono, that a person should try to live his life in a way where he's mevatel his Ratzon to Ratzon Hashem, meaning that the things that Hashem wants, I want to line myself up so they become things that I want. Now, this is very, very hard to do, and I want to talk a little bit about the big barrier that gets in the way of this. And that is personal ritzonos. And I want to understand a little bit what this barrier is and where it comes from and what we can do about it. Every person has certain things that drive him, okay? Certain ritzonos, certain things that drive him. It's actually interesting. In gematria, the word ratzon is the same gematria, somebody told me this recently, as the word makor, which means a root or a source, which means that a ratzon is, let's say, the part of the person that kind of drives his behavior. If you trace something back, you know, why did I do this? Why did I do this? Why did I do this? Well, it became from a certain ratzon. It came from a certain will or a desire to do it, and that resulted in a behavior. Ratzon is sort of the beginning of a process that results in a behavior. Now, a lot of us have ratzonos, things that drive us, that are very, very hard to let go of. And those things get in the way of us doing Ratzon Hashem. So let me give a couple of examples. Okay? a person has a ratzon that he really wants kavod, okay? And because he really wants kavod, he organizes his life in such a way that he's running after kavod. He's seeking that out, okay? And a lot of the things that he does are in the fulfillment of that ratzon, okay? And we understand that while you're chasing after your own ratzon, it's going to be impossible for you to line yourself up with the ratzon of Hashem. Okay? You can't have both. A person's chasing after taiva, a person's chasing after mammon, a person's chasing after power, whatever it is that you're chasing after, if that's the ratzon that's driving you, and you haven't let go of that, which I want to talk about how to do, if you haven't let go of that, it's going to be impossible for you to be mevatel yourself to Hashem's ratzon and live a life that is in tune with what Hashem wants. Okay? And there's a choice that every person has to make at a certain point. Am I willing to let go of the things that I've been holding on to in order for me to adapt or to take on or to line myself up with the things that Hashem wants for me? Okay? It's a very, very fundamental question in how we live our lives. And it's an important practice or important exercise for a person to go through is to think about what's driving my behavior. Am I being driven by what I think Hashem wants from me? Right? Or am I being driven by something else? Now, how does a person let go? This concept of letting go. Let's say a person gets to the conclusion that, you know, the things that are really driving my behavior are not Ratzon Hashem. I'm being driven by wanting popularity. I'm being driven by, there's so many things that drive our behavior. And let's say I've come to the conclusion that my thought process is really not that I'm thinking about what does Hashem want for me and that's going to determine my behavior. So how do I let go of that other stuff? So I think this is a very important psychological principle that everybody needs to know. And I think this will help clear things up a lot. A lot of the times that we're driving after certain things, whether it's power or fame or fortune or, you know, whatever, attention or approval from other people, all the things that we run after, which we all do in our own ways, every one of those things is coming to fill a certain need. Okay? So, for instance, if I feel, if I feel very often like not heard or not paid attention to, or, you know, like people don't really recognize me, so then I'm going to have a ratzon to seek attention, or I'm going to have a ratzon to make myself very important. I'm going to have a ratzon to make sure people hear me. Or if I have a need that I feel very much like I don't have a lot of power, so I'm going to have a ratzon to be powerful or to have a lot of money or for everyone to know who I am. Or if I have a need, to be approved of. I want other people's opinion, other people to think highly of me. So I'm going to have a ratzon to seek approval and make sure everybody likes me and to be a people pleaser and all that stuff. Every single ratzon that we have is responding to an internal need. It's a really important point. Does everyone understand that? Okay? Every single ratzon that we have, and it's across the board true. Okay? If I have a ratzon to get even all the time, it's responding to the fact that inside I have this feeling, I have this need that tells me I'm always getting the short end of the stick. I'm always getting the raw end of the deal. I'm always being taken advantage of. I'm always being walked all over. You know? So I'm going to have a ratzon to fill that by getting back and always getting in the last word and always making sure that I have the last punch and whatever it is. The ratzon, the things that drive us are often coming in response to some kind of an internal need that isn't being filled. So we fill it with all these ratzonos. And what we've just laid out here before is a lot of those ratzonos are not in line with Ratzon Hashem. Okay? Hashem would not want us to get back at our neighbors. And Hashem would not want us to get angry at people. And Hashem would not want us to run after approval. And Hashem would not want us to run after money. And Hashem would not want us to run after type. And Hashem would, all the things that are driving us are not necessarily in line with Ratzon Hashem, and yet how do we let go of them? Because a lot of them are responding to internal needs that we have, legitimate needs. So how do we let go of these things? Does everyone hear the question? It's a really, really hard question. And anybody who's seriously working on themselves has to face this question somewhere down the line. How do I let go of the things that are so important to me? How do I stop getting angry if anger is my only tool to get myself heard? Everybody has a real human need to be heard and to be recognized. And if my only way of dealing with that is to get angry, so I can't all of a sudden let go of anger because I'm going to just be left with this horrible feeling of I have no other way to deal with not being heard and not being recognized. It's a real, real dilemma for a lot of people. Everybody, I think, on some level. And this is, I think, one of the hardest things, is that it's crucial for a person to recognize that just because there's an internal need of, let's say, being heard or being recognized or being approved of or being loved or being whatever, does not mean that the rutzone that you've thought of or that you've developed to deal with it is the only way to deal with it. For example, let's say the example I just gave. Let's say a person really doesn't know, the only way he knows how to make himself heard or get his point across is through anger. But he wants to work on his anger. Okay? So he should be asking himself, here's my dilemma. I know that I have to respond to this need to feel heard. I know I have to make sure that I know how to speak up and get my point across. I don't want to use anger to do it. Okay? Now, what would Ratzon Hashem be for me to deal with that inner need that I have? Okay? If Hashem were here giving me Eitzah, okay? It's always a good thing to ask yourself. If Hashem would be here giving me Eitzah, what would he say? Okay? What would the Eitzah be to help me deal with that inner need to be heard? Okay? And the answer is not going to be go fly off the handle and get angry. It's going to be finding a different way that's in line with what Hashem wants. It might be working on learning how to be assertive or learning how to speak up for yourself in a respectful way. Whatever it is. Every single, let's say the issue of approval. Okay? So a person knows that he has a need to be approved of and to feel good about himself. But he doesn't want to have to go please everybody and be an approval seeker and a people pleaser in order to fill that need. So he should ask himself, in order to fill this need, if Hashem were here giving me an Eitzah, how would he say I should fill that need? I don't want to do it in this way that I've been doing it until now because that's not in line with Ratzon Hashem. Right? That's not a good way to fill that need. How would Hashem tell me to deal with that? How can I let go of my Ratzon and take on an Eitzah of what I think is more in line with Hashem's will that will satisfy this issue? Yeah. So what's an example of that?
Maybe not this example, but the example you just used of being assertive. Mm-hmm. Like Hashem doesn't want you to necessarily get your point across more often. Maybe you're doing it enough times that you need to be less angry.
So it's a good point. any need that is a real human need, Hashem does want you to know how to respond to it. And everything I've named here is a real human need. The need to be recognized, the need to be appreciated, the need to be heard, the need to be valued. The need to have worth, the need, all these things are real human needs, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows people better than we know ourselves, and he knows that these are all things that we need to know how to meet those needs. And there are ways to do that that are in line with Ratzon Hashem. What we often fall into the trap of is filling those needs in ways that are not in line with Ratzon Hashem. So you'd have to give me an example of one need that Hashem would say is not a need. Everything I've named so far is a real need.
Let's say that you may think you'll get the last point across enough.
Right.
You really do. So you're saying I need to always be the last guy, but you don't actually need to always be the last guy.
So you have to think about what need that's coming from. In other words, it could be that you want to get the last point across because otherwise you feel like people don't take you seriously. Or otherwise you feel like you weren't really heard. Or otherwise you feel like you were dismissed. So you want to get the last... Whatever the point is that if it's responding to that need, it's legitimate. Right? If a person has a legitimate need that he does need to feel like his opinion matters. That's legitimate.
So if you're doing
this on Hashem, your opinion automatically matter. No. The Ratzon Hashem would be, how do I deal with this need in a way that Hashem approves of. right? How do I express my opinion in a respectful way? How do I make sure to do it in a way that's not coming from an unhealthy place, but coming from a healthy place? Right? Again, this is the yesod. Every real human need has a way to be dealt with that's not in line with Ratzon Hashem, and a way to be dealt with that is in line with Ratzon Hashem. And the only way we're going to be able to let go of our unhealthy patterns is if we know very well that there's a healthier way to do it. And there always is. There always is a healthier way to do it. It's very, very hard to be willing to let go of our unhealthy patterns. Part of the, I guess, emunah here, or the bitachon maybe you could say, part of the trust that we have to have is that if I let go of this and I try to line myself up with Ratzon Hashem, I'm not going to be worse off for it. That doesn't mean I have to now just accept it and I have to, you know, I'll never be heard, I'll never get my point across. No, it's not the point. The point is that I have to find a better way to do it that is in line with the person Hashem wants me to be and not against the person Hashem wants me to be. Does that make sense? Okay. I want to say a little bit about tefillah, because in a certain way, this is a very, very big part of what tefillah is about. Tefillah, we know, is keneged korbanos, right? Gemara Brachos tells us tefillah is about keneged korbanos. There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that says, it's a very, very important Gemara for this point. Gemara Rosh Hashanah, first of all, it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that there's four Rosh Hashanah, right? Four Rosh Hashanahs. One of the Rosh Hashanahs is on Pesach, where the world is judged for Tzvua. Rosh Hashanah on Shavuos, where the world is judged for Peros, and the Rosh Hashanah on Sukkos, we know, where the world is judged for Mayim. Rosh Hashanah on Rosh Hashanah, which is when we're judged. Okay, four Rosh Hashanahs, where each one a different thing is judged. Now, in the Gemara that follows, Rabbi Akiva comes up with an equation, comes like with a sort of a klal, let's say. He comes up with a klal. And he says, on every one of these Rosh Hashanahs, whatever it is that's being judged, you have to bring that thing as a korban to Hashem. So, on Pesach, since the Tzvua is being judged, you have to bring up a korban ha-omer, right? On Shavuos, since the peros are being judged, you have to bring the shtei alechem. Rashi explains what the connection is, but the point is that the shtei alechem are connected to the peros. Whether it's shtei alechem is a matzah for the peros, or shtei alechem was the pre that Adam Rishon ate, but shtei alechem are connected to the peros. Since the peros are being judged, you bring a korban, you bring the shtei alechem. On Sukkis, the mayim is being judged, you bring the nisach hamayim. Now, does Rosh Hashanah fit into that general rule or not? In Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says, man is being judged, and therefore, the Gemara says, man should daven. Malchus, Sechonos, and Shofros. Does that fit Rabbi Akiva's klal or not fit Rabbi Akiva's klal? What would you say? It does not fit Rabbi Akiva's klal, right? Man is being judged, which bring up man as a korban. Right. The answer is, it does fit the klal. Because what tefillah is being makriv yourself to Hashem. When you daven, what you're saying to Hashem is that I'm sacrificing the person that I was for the person that I want to be. I'm letting go of the things that I'm attached to, of the things that I'm holding on to, of the ritzonos that I'm following, of the things that I'm running after. And I'm being mevatel myself to your ritzon, Hashem. That's why the ikar of tefillah, the main part of tefillah, is bakasha. Right? We ask for things as the main part of tefillah. Because when we ask for something, what we're saying is that I don't want to ask for the things that I shouldn't be asking for. I want to learn how to ask for the things that are in line with your ratzon. That's why tefillah is keneged korbanos. The Ramban says, the Sefer Chinuch brings it down when he's talking about the Beis HaMikdash. It brings down the Ramban that when a person is makriv a korban chatas, the Ramban says, really, the onesh for doing a chait should be the hakrava of the person himself. He should be makriv, being makriv himself on the mizbeach. And yet, there's a rachmanus that Hashem gives to us, and he says, you don't have to sacrifice yourself up, but, says the Ramban, when you're makriv a korban, you should have in mind, this korban is instead of me. I'm being makriv myself. How can I be makriv myself? I can be makriv my ritzonos. I can give up, I can let go of the things that I've been forming my life and chasing after. And I can say, I can let go of that. I can let go of the kavod I've been chasing. I can let go of the taiva I've been chasing. I can let go of the kinna I've been chasing. I can let go of the approval I've been chasing. I can let go of the anger that's been driving me. I can let go of all that stuff. I don't need that, right? I'm letting go of it, and I'm taking on a lifestyle that is more in tune with Ratzon Hashem. That's what tefillah is. That's what tefillah is supposed to be. It's a transformational process. A person is supposed to emerge from tefillah a little bit more tuned in with Hashem's will. Every single tefillah is supposed to be a corrective experience, where we start tefillah very much steeped in the things that we're running after in life. And we go through a process of transformation every time, a little bit more and a little bit more. And when we emerge from tefillah, we should be tuned in more with wanting the right things. Our mindset in tefillah is, I know that these are the things that I want now. Hashem, please help me want the right things. I don't want to want the wrong things. I know why I'm wanting them. Like we said before, I want these things because they're responding to certain needs inside, and Rav Lesson explained the psychological process behind all that. But the point is, I'm wanting these things. I don't want to want these things. I don't want these things to drive my life. Hashem, let me please want the things that you want me to want. I want to line myself up with your ratzon. I want your ratzon to be my ratzon. I want my ratzon to be your ratzon. Right? That's what it means to have a daito sheldas hamakom. It's interesting that Rav Hirsch points out that the word lehit palel comes from the lashon pilel. Pilel is a word for judgment or self-judgment. Or pilel's judgment, lehit palel is the reflective, right? So it's self-judgment. That the process of tefillah is supposed to be an introspective process where we're judging ourselves, not judging ourselves in a judgmental kind of a way, judging ourselves in the fact that we're holding court, we're looking at it, we're analyzing it, and as we look at ourselves, we should be thinking, how tuned in am I, or how lined up am I with Ratzon Hashem? Right? How much do I think that Ratzon Hashem is guiding my behavior versus how much is it really not? One more marmakam I wanted to share with you, but I don't have it here. There's one last point that I want to bring here on this. Any questions so far? Okay. One last point I want to bring here that I think is really important to consider. What happens when a person is successful in lining himself up with Ratzon Hashem? Right, let's say we are able to achieve that to some degree. And we've used our seichel to figure out what Ratzon Hashem is. We've internalized that. We've gone through the process of transformation so that we're tuned into it a little bit more. It's more in our minds and we're thinking more in those terms. What happens then? So this is an unbelievable thing. What happens when a person has lined himself up with Ratzon Hashem is that he becomes a kli for transmitting Ratzon Hashem into the world. He becomes, Rav Yochum used to compare a person to a pipe, a tzinor. He becomes a conduit. Because you have to remember, Hashem doesn't speak openly to us in the world anymore. He doesn't. We don't have open miracles, we don't have nevuah, we don't have an open communication. However, what we do have is a charge that Hashem has given us to speak in the world through us. In other words, a person can make himself into a mouthpiece for divine will. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean anybody becomes God. But what it does mean is that when you're I'll put it this way. The ultimate example of a person who lined himself up with Ratzon Hashem is Moshe Rabbeinu. He was so a cheftza of Ratzon Hashem that he was able to give the Torah. And the Rambam says, one of the Yisodi Emunah, there was no, the eighth Yisod, there was none of Moshe in the transmission. There were no personal negios. The only reason Moshe could give the Torah, could come through Moshe, is because of the fact that he was kulo achefzar rotzon Hashem. He was completely tapped into it. And therefore, it was able to be transmitted through him. In other words, Moshe acted as a conduit through which Ratzon Hashem was able to be revealed to the world. It's a phenomenal idea. It means that Hashem actually transmitted his Ratzon into the world through sin, through a human being. And it came down into the world because Moshe was able to transmit it. Each person on their own level can be a kli like that. And what that means, in very practical terms, is that we talk about a person being able to carry out like a shlichus in this world, messengers of Hashem's will, and it's very, very true. But it doesn't mean that there's like you have this like when there's a mailman, he kind of he has his delivery packages and he has to go carry it out. It's not that. It's much, much deeper than that. It's not just that Hashem gave us kind of like, deliver this package into the world. No. Hashem said that I want to speak in the world through you. I want your actions to reflect my Ratzon. I want your speech to reflect my Ratzon. I want the way that you build your life to reflect godliness. I want you to be a kli so that I can come into this world through you. That's really the power that a person has. And I think it's a tremendously exhilarating idea and also a tremendously comforting idea. It's a tremendously exhilarating idea because you realize the koach that a person has. You can really make yourself into a mouthpiece for Hashem in this world. No less. A person has the capacity to do that. And it's an achrayas, it's a responsibility that we have. It's also an awesome opportunity that you have. I mean, you could say that the entire Sefer Das Tfunos of the Ramchal is entirely based on one yesod, which is the Gilui Kvot Shemayim Ba'olam, revealing Hashem in this world. Right? The best way that a person can fulfill that is to make himself a kli so that Hashem gets revealed in this world through him. Tuning into Ratzon Hashem is the way to do that. I also think it's very comforting, though. The reason it's very comforting is because we have to realize that we're not in this mission alone. The more that a person tunes himself into what Hashem wants, the more Hashem is right there transmitting messages through him. In other words, we have to realize that Hashem is very much invested in us. He very much wants us to succeed. He very much wants us to form ourselves into beings that carry out his will. Right? The more that we do that, the more Hashem is with us. In other words, you're going to always invest something if you think it's going to have it's going to produce something. If you think you're going to get a good return, you're going to invest more in it. The more that Hashem thinks he's going to get a good return from us, the more he's with us. The more he invests in us. The more he puts stock in us. Right? So it's not just a question of like the more you become like somebody, the closer you are to him. It's also true. The more like Hashem we are, the closer we become to him. It's also true, right? Two best friends are often very similar because they spend more time with each other, you become very, very similar. But it's more than that. It's that we have a mission here to become a kli, to become a conduit, to become a tsinur. When Hashem, if we can speak in human terms, when Hashem sees that, he gets very excited. He says, oh, look at this. Here's a person who's really doing my work in the world, right? I don't speak openly in the world, but this person is really doing exactly what the work that I want to have accomplished in this world. I'm going to pay extra attention to him. I'm going to really invest in that guy. Right? Because I see that he's really doing it the right way. So that's how I really want to wrap this up. I think that the entire series has been about transforming ourselves internally so that we become real Ovdei Hashem and people who are really carrying out Hashem's Ratzon in the world. There's a lot here, and I think there's a lot of, if there's one thing that you take from all this, hopefully it's that there's a lot of internal work that we have to do, right? But it's a lifelong process. We're in this world to work on ourselves and make ourselves the best that we can be, and it's not just for ourselves. As we've said here tonight, we're doing it for a much higher purpose. We're doing it because through working on ourselves, that's the way that Hashem's will be manifested and come into fruition in this world. Our job is no less than that, and it's also as great as that. So Mitzvah Shem will be able to do that. Thank you. Yeah.